Hey friends, I'm Jernay, also known as Savvy_Educator on Twitter. Currently, I am an Educator Innovation Lead on Team Flipgrid, but I have experience as a teacher, as an administrator, as an instructional coach, an instructional technology specialist, and probably so much more, mentor to coaches, so much. But anyway, I am so happy to be here to learn alongside of each of you and grow right along with you in this wonderful thing called education. So let's keep shifting the world of education and making it better for all of our students.
Welcome to the Sons of Technology Clubhouse. Ditch your fear at the door, take a risk, and enjoy the ride. With your hosts, Joe Marquez and Kyle Anderson.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the podcast by the Sons of Technology. Today, we have a great group of educators here to talk to you about staying connected, having constant creative communication with your staff, your parents, and your students during times of distance learning. And right now during the summer, where students are still going to need to be connected with each other and their teachers. So we have a lot of great ideas, a lot of fun ideas, and I think some extra special friends might show up as well. But let's go ahead and get started with the introductions. My name is Joe Marquez. I am an educator out of the Central Valley of California. And you can find me in the Twitterverse at JoeMarquez70. And as always, my partner in innovation, Kyle Anderson. Kyle, please introduce yourself.
Hello, hello, everybody. Kyle Anderson from beautiful Southern Nevada, no longer Northern Nevada. I mean, I don't think this is old news at this point. So anyway, so you can find me on Twitter at AndersonEdTech. Same thing on Instagram, my blog, AndersonEdTech.net. And then I also have my book, To the Edge, Successes and Failures Through Risk-Taking, that you can find on barnesandnoble.com and also Amazon.
Excellent. Corey, what about yourself, a returning guest?
Yes, back in the clubhouse again. Corey Coble from Northern California. I am a 7th grade science and STEM teacher, and you can find me on Twitter at CVRScience7.
Excellent. And Roland, our buddy, our member from Canada. Roland, please introduce yourself.
My name is Roland Chidiak, and I'm in Waterloo, Ontario, Canada. And I currently teach grade 3, and you can find me on Twitter at rchids.
And of course, one of the most fun people that I know, Ben. Ben, please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Right. Well, all of a sudden, Joe, I heard like there was going to be some special guests, and I was like, I better go get my special guest, you know, like, I only got like one special guest here, and I don't know what this special guest name is yet. So maybe you guys can help me out. He's pretty much like us, right? Wow, look at that cool Zoom.
I like that.
Anyways, I am Ben Cogswell, formerly known as Coach Ben. I'm a recovering TOSA still after 2 years back in the classroom, TOSA being a teacher on special assignment. And I am in Salinas, California, the salad bowl capital of the world. And I am currently, you might also be following me with my Kinder Rockets and my special friends. And I guess they kind of connect to today's topic, right? I think, Joe, for me, and it's funny because I don't know if you guys know me a little bit before, right? I was not a big puppet person before like COVID happened, right? I mean, how many times, Kyle, did you ever see me like talk about a puppet, mention a puppet, you know? Probably not very much, but you know, now, of course, like, it's a lot different. And you know, for a kindergartner, and when you're looking at a screen, and especially when you're competing with things like YouTube out there, right? How can I be just not another floating head? Like, I feel like Charlie Brown, like, wah, 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 right? And so that's who I am. And this is my crew in the back. That's how they sleep, by the way. It looks kind of weird, but that's how puppets sleep.
I think there's times I sleep like that as well. It all depends on how the night goes. So, Ben, I really wanted to do this this episode because of the inspiration that I've seen with you. Because, you know, when we say staying connected, sometimes people think, oh, that means like, you know, let's have a Flipgrid where kids can just, you know, do a quick video to say, hey, this is what I'm doing, or a quick email, or a quick this or a quick that. But when I also mean staying connected, I mean staying relevant from a distance. There's been too many times I've seen, you know, educators using the webcam or their computer just as a window, and they just hold up a whiteboard and they wipe the whiteboard and hold up the whiteboard. It starts to be that wah, wah, wah. The kids aren't going to listen. If it's hard for them to listen in class to something like that, it's going to be extremely difficult to listen at a distance. But you've been created something that really makes that connection possible. You're doing something that I call the educational squirrel, right? Like if you remember that movie Up, there was that dog Doug, and whenever his attention was be taken away, he'd look over and go, squirrel. Well, we needed educational squirrels in the classroom, something that would take their attention towards us so we can hit them with knowledge. And you're doing that. So Ben, I want you to explain a little bit more about what Kinder Rockets is and about our friendly little guests that you have behind you.
All right. Well, I'm going to try to, you know, I'll try to hit the big points here. But basically, March 13th, COVID hit, and I'm a kindergarten teacher, as I said. And the way we do our kindergarten is we have half the kids kind of come in the morning, they leave after lunch, and then half the kids kind of come before lunch, and then they leave after lunch. And so there's like overlap. So anyways, it's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and so half of my class, 16 out of my students, have already gone. And so they're like, it's 2 o'clock. And they're like, they're not going to come back to school on Monday, right? And so with my 12 kids that are there, you know, I like give them some stuff in the background. But I'm all of a sudden when I get home, I start thinking about these 16 kids that I really weren't able to have a chance to say anything to. And of course, I'm already connected with them through some means, but, you know, not every parent. Like, and so I really started thinking about the things like accessing and what do people have access to and how can we kind of keep connected and stay connected. And, you know, Facebook is a lot of adults. It's one of the number one platforms, even according to the Pew Research Center for adults, right? Facebook is a platform where a lot of people are at. And so it just kind of like, it basically became kind of like a public front of my classroom, if you will. Because I mean, my students would have Seesaw, and that's great. And I could give them the content in this Seesaw, right? A free app for kids, for those of you that are not familiar, or an app that kids can use that you can, you know, free and paid. But anyways, it was just these ways that I could think about to engage, you know, not only my families in my classroom, but just families out there as well, because it was a big change for everybody. And especially when you think about kindergartners and kindergarten teachers. And then, you know, I always was worried, and I don't know about you guys. You guys have those whiny you have the kindergarten teachers that sit in your staff meetings and are like, well, that doesn't work for me. Have you ever heard that from a kindergarten teacher?
I wouldn't just say kindergarten teacher. We've heard that.
More so from kindergarten teachers, right?
Yes.
And absolutely. So, I mean, it's totally true in some ways, and I never really gotten it until I was a kindergarten teacher, but it's like, how do we get kindergartners to do this whole distance learning thing? And especially a new year when they're like a fresh crop, right? And I don't even want to start thinking about that. But that's, I guess, where this whole thing started. And it just started with, you know, some basic things that I felt like kids needed. One of them being literacy, right? Kids need access to books. And so we do this, the read aloud every night, right? At 7 o'clock at every night. And as I was saying, I think we're on day 110 or 111, I forget. And that's kind of where these puppets started to come in too, because I don't know, it's kind of like a pushback for me as well. And I'm, you know, I don't want to dominate the conversation too much, but you know, I think about I love technology, but now we're all of a sudden getting so connected into screens, you know? And so I guess this was in some way for me, it was also an attempt to kind of take it a step back, you know, like I don't need to do everything in a screencast, right? Not saying screencasts aren't super helpful, right? But if I'm going to reach my kiddos, right, how can I kind of get them off the screen a little bit more? And so doing some of the traditional things and just kind of throwing my friendly puppets in here. And I just, you know, a lot of, for me, inspiration from things like a lot of what you guys probably grew up with, like Sesame Street. You know, I think about, you know, Mr. Rogers and kind of how those shows and so it's just interesting, you know, with a Facebook page, you're pretty much now can turn into your own TV station. And so I guess like that's kind of, I guess, a whole lot of ideas packed in there. But that's basically it. And now for me, a lot what I'm doing is, you know, you see a lot of my new content coming out right now in this summer is trying to get kids ready for kindergarten now and in the next round of school. So we just did this whole video with my kids, right? A Baby Shark parody, Wear Your Mask, right? And it's these things like, how do you start to get kids to think about coming to school with a mask on all day and teaching them how to do that, right? As a kindergarten teacher, I'm tying kids' shoes, right? So, I mean, that's kind of the, again, the long and short of it, if you will.
Yeah, and I love the idea because you're thinking, I hate the term thinking outside the box because that means there's a box, right? You're thinking in a different way to get information to students, to convey information to students, but in an entertaining way where they can't look away. And I think that's the really important part of this is, you know, tricking your students into learning because they feel like it is fun. And everybody says, well, learning should be fun. It should be. But it's not, you know, every kid, learning is not a cookie cutter thing. You have to find ways that piques the interest of all your students. And so you have to really bob and weave all the time to figure out what's going to be hit and miss. And so later on, Ben, we are going to have you do some of your puppet voices for everybody because I absolutely love them. You did some for my daughter's birthday and she loved Robot. She just goes, oh, can I see that one again? She just loved it. So any of your puppets, I'd love to hear. But Corey, you've been a great educator for quite some time, and you've seen, you know, what keeps kids connected in the classroom. You've seen what gets kids' attention. What have you seen or what have you been doing in this time of distance learning to keep that connection, to keep the students listening during this time?
Well, I mean, it's being a seventh grade science teacher, that was a fundamental shift in how I taught. Like you said, March 13th, I basically walked out of my classroom, not really, you know, kind of had an idea that I wasn't coming back, but the unknown and how in the world am I going to teach a science classroom with hands-on labs and experiences that these kids really enjoyed building and making and trying and failing. And how do I bring that to a flat screen? And I just embraced, I just embraced YouTube. I embraced Screencastify. I've been using Camtasia to build green screen videos and just really working with that. And then I do a lot of, they have been doing a lot of Google Classroom stuff. And so they were used to that. But I'm in a K-8 school. And I got to tell you, I saw so many teachers in all the different grade levels within minutes, you know, looking at ways to bring the classroom home, and teachers in 1 hour session would learn how to do Screencastify, and now they're putting their reading books every week online, you know, videotaping themselves, planning ahead, engaging these kids in ways that they were like, oh my, like, can I say this? Oh crap, we have to go, and you know, what are we gonna do? But teachers were amazing. They embraced this and they figured out how to take this. Bless those lower grade teachers because, man, that's such an engaging and exciting classroom. And for them to bring that home to their students, you know, was amazing. So, yeah, I've been doing that. I actually started embedding videos into my Google Slides, sending those out to the kids, my instruction. And I think it actually was better because now my students can pause me instead of having to waste my time in class and everyone else's kids at class by asking those 1,000 questions. They can just rewind me. They can email me. They can do stuff like this a little more personalized. So I actually think what happened to me was it became more personalized. I really got to know my students. I got to help them individually, find out what they needed. And that quick turnaround, that quick feedback that they were provided helped out just tons. And so I think every teacher did that. And I think both students and teachers, you know, really embraced it, got the most out of it as they could. And so, yeah. And then I'm a spreadsheet geek. So I did a lot of Google Forms and check-ins, which was really, I mean, honestly, that was eye-opening to me. I made a Google Form and every week they would fill it out. Different questions, you know, favorite milkshake combinations, things like that. But I would always have a, how are you doing? 1 to 5. And then anyone that was a 1 or a 2, immediately I was watching the, you know, spreadsheet. If they had a 1 or 2, I had their email right there. And I would email them immediately, like within a few minutes of them turning it in during the day and just say, hey, just want to check in with you. I'm here with you. I understand, you know, I have 2 kids at home too that are struggling with this thing. So, you know, reach out to me. I think that was very, very powerful. That quick feedback that I could normally do in a classroom. I could see that kid struggling. I could see their body language. When they're at home, you can't see them struggle. And so you have to reach out to them. You have to make connections. And so that really helped a lot. I mean, it was a sucky situation that we were put into, but I honestly think I got some good skills out of it to be able to connect with my students a lot more. I mean, I'm no Ben level of making fun videos yet, but I'm working on it. Hey, maybe seventh graders like puppets. Who knows?
Mr. Coble's science, core science, Mr. Coble. I could see that. I could see that jacket. I'd see it.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm totally going to geek out. If we have to do home stuff come fall, man, I'm so going to be like geeking out with some green screen, videos and just start, podcasting and do stuff like that.
I'm going to start podcasting my students. What we're going to do, Corey, is we're all going to create a show and we're all going to create our own little mini station, right? And we're going to try and we're going to buy PBS's channel 18 over here in Clovis. We can do 18.6. Hey, can we buy your 18.6? And we're going to publish. It's going to happen. And yep. Corey, I love the fact that you're using Google Forms because I use that all the time in my classroom to stay connected with my students and parents for that instant feedback. And teachers and administrators, listen to us right now. If you are not using some of those add-ons in Sheets like Autocrat or Formule, if you're not using those things to send out instant messages, like if it was a student has a one, right? And let's say that you're away and you're not going to get to that in time. It can instantly say, oh, somebody hit a one. I'm going to send this message to them. Yep. And then I'm going to also send an SMS message to my phone so I know that student needs help. That communication is incredibly important because parents get anxiety as much as students get anxiety. And when they get instant feedback after completing a form, they start to go, okay, he's there, he's answering. And so even if it is a computer doing that auto feedback, you're still communicating to them, giving them the information they need, and then you can follow up when needed. So teachers, listen, if you're not using Autocrat or Formule, do it. Do it, do it, do it. And if you don't know how to use it, come see us. We'll help you.
We'll help you. Come in the clubhouse. We'll help you out.
So Roland, what about you? Roland, you are probably in the same boat as everybody else, right? You're trying to stay connected with students. It's summertime, so you probably don't know who your students are going to be next year. What's going on your campus on the talks of staying connected with students and parents and like making a connection with them for this upcoming school year?
Well, that's the interesting thing about all this, listening to you guys talk about it. I don't know who my students are next year. We start in September. I don't know who my new students are in September. But as soon as I find out who they are, this is really cool. As I grew up and became a teacher, lots of teachers do this thing where they reach out to their students as soon as they find out who they are. They send them a letter, they give them a call. They try different things, right? When I got into teaching, all of a sudden that was a no-no. Like I had administrators saying, don't do that. And it's like, why not? And they say, well, because the class list can change. So up until the day we start, that list that I just gave you can change. So I've always let it hold me back. But I think this year I'm going to have a great conversation with my principal and say, listen, even in my note to them or my phone call to them, I'm going to make it clear that this isn't nothing set in stone. But as far as I'm concerned, your name's been given to me. And that means much more this year than it ever has before. Because as I listen to you guys talk and as I've seen some of Ben's work, one of the reasons I'm here is because I want to learn more about what people like Ben do. Because if it works in kindergarten, it's going to work everywhere else. It's just going to look a little bit different. And so I feel my time with distance learning, I don't feel I was as effective as I could have been. I was stumped. So for example, when this whole thing started, I was getting messages from my colleagues asking about Flipgrid. How does it work? I know you've used it. How does it work? So I would tell them what I knew, and I would refer them to people that knew more. I would refer them to people that could show them things, some of your tutorial videos, Joe, things like that. And then when I did it with my kids, once we were full distance, they weren't buying it anymore. So I was like, this is weird. What we did around something like Flipgrid when we were in the classroom, now all of a sudden, nobody's interested. My buyout was so low that I had to like think fast because I'm like, well, this isn't going to work for me and my class. The class I had this year, they weren't particularly interested in doing Google Meets. So it was like everything my wife was learning how to do with her third graders, they were eating it up. And I'm sitting there and I'm staring at her doing all this stuff and I'm feeling kind of jealous because my group, that's not what they wanted. And I think it's because I was giving them a lot of that. I was giving them a lot of blended learning when we were together. And I think a lot of my colleagues weren't doing that. And so when they had to jump in, it was new. And for me, my kids were like, well, we've done this already a ton of times. So I was caught in a situation where I was constantly trying different things along the way to see what's working. Where am I catching their attention? Where are they getting interested? And so I was doing a lot of old school stuff. Well, I call it old school, but it's not. A lot of inquiry type stuff. So I would present them with the concept and, you know, I would make videos of myself explaining things. So it was asynchronous, right? I'd have a YouTube video of me doing work with them or a read aloud. And then I would give them an open-ended activity and I would give them like a menu, a list of options. You can show me you're learning this way, or this way. And I didn't get huge numbers working on that, but I got more than the Flipgrids and the Google Meets. So now that I know that about my past class, I need to build my toolbox for September. I need to be prepared with the really cool pedagogy that can happen using the tech, but I need some stuff that's non-tech, kind of like what Ben was talking about. These kids can't be on a screen all day. It's not good for them. They need to be doing other things, right? So that's kind of where I'm coming from. A very unique situation because as I tell you, as the months were coming along, I was still getting phone calls and text messages and emails from my colleagues saying, hey, I want to do this and I know you've done it and you've had success. Can you help me? And I found I was getting more success by helping my colleagues than I was actually working with the 21 kids that I was responsible for. So I'm that guy today. I didn't feel like I was very effective at all, but my mind is open. I'm ready to learn. I'm ready to try different things to get my group together and get them learning and feeling good about their learning.
And that is a huge part of staying connected with your staff, right? And being humble, knowing that you don't know everything and knowing that you're willing to share what you know and that you're willing to learn new things from other people. And I think that's a big, important thing that needs to happen. And a lot of people are doing it. But we need to make sure people, you know, are humble when they are sharing things out and be willing to learn new things, learn different ways, and just understand we don't know everything, but we can know a lot together, and that can help quite a bit. Kyle, what about you? I mean, I know you have some really great ideas of staying connected and using social media to connect with other educators and connecting with students. What are some things that you're thinking about when it comes to staying connected this summer or staying connected when school starts in the fall?
Well, I'm going to be switching schools this fall. As we've talked about in the podcast before, I moved from Northern Nevada to Southern Nevada now. So new district, new school, new everything. And right now, the only people I know in my school that I'm going to is I worked for a short time with one of the social studies teachers about 10 years ago. And she's actually the person that I talked to a little bit before applying for the job. And then I've worked with the principal a little bit. Other than that, I don't know anybody at the school. So right now I have, when you say a blank slate, it is so blank that the slate's not even there at this point because I have no connection whatsoever to the school at this point. As for my previous school, I still have my email account that is active. I've not checked it much as of late with the summer and everything. And then I still have my Google Voice number that I was using during remote learning. And I told students and parents throughout, I go, if you need anything, that number is going to be active. So I haven't gotten any texts or phone calls or anything on it, but it's something that's there. And I may not get anything ever. I may 5 years from now get a text message. I don't know. So, and I'm okay with that. So if a kid needs me for a job recommendation later on down the road, that's exactly what that's there for. And I also provided all of my students with my personal email address before I left as well, because I told them, I go, I don't know when this school email address is going to disappear. And if you ever want to contact me, this is for a surefire way to get a hold of me. So Now, with that being said, like I said, it's a blank slate. So I have no idea what I'm going to be doing this fall with my new students. But one thing I know I'm going to be continuing to do is that I've been using Flipgrid now for a very long time. And something I never really used before, though, in Flipgrid was the Flipgrid Shorts feature. So if you're unfamiliar with this, listeners, Shorts is a way to record short video clips that you can either use to piece together a bigger video to submit in Flipgrid, or the way I was using it was every morning I would wake up, I would get logged on to Google Classroom, then I would go directly over to Flipgrid. And I did it for two reasons. One, because I always posted a topic each week just as a general check-in for the students where, how you doing? What's going on? Had nothing to do with content. It was more of just a check-in. So, and I believe I've mentioned this on the podcast before where I had students that would just jump on, say hello. Others would, you know, show me their pets, and another show me their skills tying balloon animals. Another one playing guitar. So, and these were high school kids. So if it sounds like, oh, this is something that like an elementary school really embraced. No, these were high school kids, high school seniors even, that were embracing that. But the other reason I was logging into Flipgrid right away was because whatever announcements that I had for the classes or reminders that the students needed to make sure they got certain things done, I recorded, I think the longest one was 2 minutes, just a short video clip using Flipgrid Shorts. And what made that fun was then I could put on there little stickers, whatever, like if it happened to be like rainy that day, I could put a rain cloud sticker on there or whatever. And then I also always put, they had the stickers in Flipgrid for the days of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I would always put that on there to say, you know, hey, it's Wednesday. And then I could use the type feature and put the date in there or whatever. So just as a way for the students to, rather than just read something on Google Classroom or check their email, it was a way for me to tell them what they needed to know with my actual face. If I couldn't be there with them together, it was a way for me to connect with my kids. So, and in the beginning, the kids really embraced it. I was getting dozens upon dozens of views per day. As time went on, that dwindled because I think everybody was just kind of fed up with remote learning at that point. But it didn't stop me from doing it. I did those things from beginning of April all the way until the first week of June. I did them every day. And it was something that it worked well for me with my old school. And it's something that whatever the situation is going to be this fall, it's something I'm going to pick up and continue to do.
And that's, Kyle, that's fantastic. I mean, I know, just knowing you for years, I know how hard you work to make those connections with those students and keep those connections with those students and have those open lines. But when we keep saying the word connection, connecting means you have something that the other person likes or something the other person is drawn to, something the other person just can't help but come together with somebody. And so when you're connecting with students, you have to be utilizing things that they like or things that they might be interested in. And for one thing, like when I was teaching eighth grade science, I used to use an app called Crazy Talk, which would allow me to puppet any picture. It would let the mouth move and everything. So I would do Justin Bieber. I have to admit, I used Justin Bieber quite a bit because he was big back in like 2012. I would do Beavis and Butthead. And the kids didn't really know them until actually they had a resurgence in like 2013. They finally understood, but I would do all the voices. I'd be like, hey, Beavis, yeah, fire. Butthead, Beavis. I'd do all that stuff, right? And the kids would love it, but I would throw chemistry in there. I'm like, yeah, fire. Fire is fuel and oxygen and heat and it creates fire.
Chemistry is cool.
He's like, I would do that stuff, and the kids would be like, what is going on? Right? And so they just, they can't help but watch because they don't know what's happening, but they are learning at the same time. Right. And Ben, I think you are doing that in an amazing way for younger kids. I mean, you're not going to put a Beavis and Butthead puppet out there for kindergartners, but you have some amazing puppets. And what I like about them as well is you give them personalities each and you give them like a backstory. So I want you to introduce a couple of your puppets and tell their backstory and give like an introduction in their voice, just so the listeners can see the hard work. Here's the thing, the hard work you put in to try and stay connected with your students, right? On the outset, somebody would watch this and be like, that's just like a man doing a puppet. No, this is an amazing educator trying to connect with students. That's what the amazing part about this is. So if you're watching on YouTube Live, you can see Mr. Well, I'm not going to even say his name. Ben, I want you to introduce him.
How you doing, y'all? Man, I'm so happy to be here. I see these dudes, man. You guys look way cool. I don't know who all you are, but I just got to say, if I could grow a beard like you, I can't. I'm a robot. That would be awesome. My name is Mr. Robot. You can call me Bot. How you doing?
Mr. Hey, Bot. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Where do you come from?
Well, a lot of people think that I'm from Texas because the way I talk and my hat, but that is not true at all. I'm from Mars. This is how people on Mars talk, and I'm a robot. And so I don't know. How many robots you seen in Texas? Not a whole lot. How many robots you see on Mars? Well, you may have not been to Mars, but that's where I'm from.
Well, I think I've seen at least three robots on there, right? You know, Pathfinder and all those. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. You have some good lineage there. And Mr. Bot, I know you have you've met some really good friends along the way, right? You've met a lot of great students. How does it feel that you've become a robot role model, a robot model to these kids?
Well, you know what? You see, I'm like the face, but I'm not the most popular yet.
Oh, no.
No,
really?
There's one that's more. He is like the lesser known one.
Oh, well then in that case, maybe we should listen to this lesser known one.
It's funny because you don't see him. I'll tell you why, but he's fun.
Hello, my name's Joshua, and you're not seeing me because this weird, this thing behind me, it's making my skin look weird. Hello, how you doing today?
Good, Joshua. How are you?
He's cool looking.
By the way, normally when we go in these things, we always greet each other and say hi. You got to say hi when you say so. Hello, Corey.
Hello.
Hi, Roland. Mr. Roland.
Hello. Welcome.
Hi, Mr. Kyle. How you doing today?
I'm all right, Joshua. How about you?
I'm good. I'm nice to be here. And Mr. Joe.
Oh, I'm doing great, Joshua. Now I'm doing phenomenal.
Well, most people, they don't see me in like all the YouTube videos and stuff, but if you watch all the Seesaw lessons, I'm liking all of them, like a lot of them. And so, like, I think at this point I'll probably work with, like, 600,000 kids. I'm not even joking. Isn't that crazy?
That is awesome. Crazy. That is great.
Yeah, so that's why I'm pretty much, like, the most famous puppet, like Mr. Bot was saying, but y'all don't know me. But that's okay.
Well, I think people should know you, and hopefully after this little interview with you, people will know the name Joshua.
Yeah, well, it's funny. The students in the other teacher, she works next door, and then all of a sudden, they were like asking about Joshua, and then the teacher thought they were talking about the IT guy Joshua, but they weren't. It was me.
Of course, it was you. You're the only Joshua that people want to talk to, I guess.
Yeah.
That is.
I mean, if you're going to use it right, you kind of have to own it first of all, and you have to. I mean, it's more fun. You build some interest around it. It's not just a puppet, right? I mean, there's a story, and so I think it's just. I think part of it too is for people with the puppets is a lot of us. You know, when we think about our child, and we think about those times, and I think it just maybe helps us bring it together. But I think it goes back to a lot of what you're saying is, you know, we really need to think about engaging families, right? Because I think what all of us, and I'm listening to some people here, right? Just kind of what, you know, Corey was saying, like when we can, about how he was connecting, like specifically with a Google form, you know, like we have to engage families. Like these parents right now are co-teachers in our classroom, right? And so I think whatever we can do to A, engage them, right? And B, show them that we care. Right. And I mean, for me as a kindergarten teacher, right, I just had to think about it being a little creative. And the other thing for me is, you know, a lot of my students' parents speak Spanish. And so it's not my best language. It's not my first language. And so I think it's just, I think for a lot of that is, again, for me, what does this is, again, how can we connect with the people out there? And so, you know, I think that's the hard part and that's the challenge. And I think as parents, you know, I think each one of us here, I don't know about you, Roland, if you have any kiddos, but yeah, So, I mean, you guys know how it felt to be a parent, right?
Yep.
And so it's just like, that's, I think, what a lot of what drove me is like, you know, I watch my first grader, my priest, because I got, right, my 4-year-old, my 7-year-old, my 10-year-old, and my 12-year-old. I mean, I got a gauntlet in my house, right? And really thinking about what their teachers were doing, it allowed me to reflect. And so, you know, and improve my practice. But I really think, you know, I just kind of echoing this a little different topic, what Corey said. I mean, I feel like I've learned so much about myself as a teacher, and, you know, having to explain things to kindergartners in a Google Meet has definitely taken me a long way. And this is the last thing I guess I'll have to say, and I'll pass the mic. And I think this is really important is kind of, I think Corey, you kind of alluded to it. How do you teach science through a computer? Right. I think these synchronous phone calls that we're having with kids, right. I think my students enjoyed them because every day we drew something every single day, right? And we worked a lot at kindergartners, right? But I think you could do it any time. I feel like kids are with us in a face-to-face meeting, we got to have them doing something on paper. Because I just see them just sitting there, and whether that's sketch noting, right, whether that's taking Cornell notes, right, for older kids, just having them do something. And I think, like, when we engage those kids and we engage those families, and I felt like that was a really something that worked for me in engaging my kindergartners at home, is every day they came and every day they wrote and every day they drew. So, and I got my other Kinder Rocket here that did some of those things.
Well, I agree. Thinking about that, you know, I had my kids, my own kids. I have he was a sixth grader and a fourth grader, or third grader. They're going into seventh and fourth in the fall, but trying to keep them engaged, we went on photo walks. You know, if you had a story that you wanted to do, let's go take a picture. Let's go find something that relates to the thing you're writing about or learning about. Let's go take a photo walk. Now, we even took little baby Yoda out there and took, you know, pictures just for the heck of it. Getting them out and engaged in, you know, activities. And then just piggybacking on what Ben was saying, you know, I think the educators who are listening to this, I mean, you don't have to go out and do a whole puppet show, but I think what Ben is trying to get across is that take a leap of faith, figure out something that you are passionate about, and then bring that to your class, whatever way you can. I always look at the Indiana Jones movie where he takes a leap of faith, and it's like, you know, this big chasm out there, and it's a leap of faith. He's going to get
the Grail.
The Holy Grail. Yep, there you go. Yep. He's presented with this chasm. And so I kind of look at the, you know, COVID thing is like, this is a chasm of, you know, learning, and just take a leap of faith, just take your foot out there. And it ended up being a painted, you know, visual of the cavern, but it was really it's a walkway. And so I think what Ben did was just take a leap of faith, you know, embrace the puppets. Great. Go with it, have fun with it, you know, build your, you know, little thing that you're doing, but you know, whatever it is you can do, whether it's making videos of you reading books or, embracing your kids' talents and having them share stuff. That's what we have to do as educators, even if it's, you know, blended online or in person next year. I think fundamentally we're going to be very different educators coming out of this for the better. Honestly, I think it's going to be for the better because we now realize, hey, these are some cool things we can do. So I encourage every educator listening to the Sons of Technology, you know, it could be more than just technology too. I mean, it could be fun art. I love the idea of drawing every day. And, you know, I gave my kids first day, you know, I went on Amazon, bought sketch notebooks, blank, you know, for like $12. I got 4 of them, gave 2 each to my kids, and they're drawing Minecraft maps, hand drawing Minecraft maps. And then they're going on Minecraft and actually building. But the creative process, the thoughts, the, I want to learn how to draw, you know, keep encouraging that. It's awesome.
Yeah. And that's where alternative assessments, right, really come into play here, right? It's think differently. I think that was like an Apple slogan back in the day.
Yep.
But you have to think differently, especially in these times, to get the students to want to complete an assignment, right?
Yeah.
Because they're going to start having, well, I can play Fortnite or I can do count. That assignment for Mr. Coble. Oh, yeah. You know, so if it's fun, do it. Like, Ben, did you make all of those puppets, or did you like buy them and then like dress them up?
Amazon is totally my best friend. No, most of them I purchased. Some of them I dressed up with, like, you know, now like the, you know, our, she's everybody's favorite, of course, you know, Violet. She like has a spacesuit that I just matched. And so,
hello, hello. You gentlemen are very, very handsome.
You're very cute as well, Violet.
Thank you so much.
So yeah, you know, it's just, I don't know. It just, as I said, it's just, I think the other thing that really kind of worked for me is just being able to kind of, like Corey mentioned, it is when people see my family also being involved, I think, you know, I just happen to have the kids at that age. And I think that, that makes it helpful, as well, because it's just really about this, like each one of you, I hear saying it like Kyle, like it's the face that they need to see. We need to still have this human connection, right? How do we still have this human connection? How do we keep it during these times? It's not easy, right? And again, we have to be creative. And I think that sometimes, and I think this goes back to, again, what Corey was saying, like you put it better than I put it. Like, we have to let kind of that inner nerd out a little bit more. We all kind of, like kindergarten teachers, it comes a little more natural, right? And, but you know, we all got to find that. And I think when we share those bits and pieces of ourselves, right. And I guess that's what we have to do. I mean, we're in this together. How do we show that we're in this together? Right. And
yep.
The parents don't know anything about me, then they're not going to be in it with me. And so, you know, I just think and here's the other thing I'm going to say. There's no one size fits all. What works, you know, Roland, it very well could have been your group of kids, right? It very well could have. You know, it's so hard. We are always so hard on ourselves as educators, right? There's no, what worked for me is not going to work for somebody else. There's a whole lot of reasons why, right? Different teaching styles, different technology skills. And so I think we just also need to remember to give ourselves grace, you know, as we're going through this, because I don't want people to look at what I'm doing and just say, like, I have to do that to be successful, right? I have to do all of that to be successful. And I just don't think that's true.
Yeah, 100%
agree.
Well,
Ben, just to give you an idea, you know this, but for anybody else listening, just to give you an idea how powerful these puppets are, my 8-year-old daughter happened to be walking by my computer as we're doing this and looked on the screen and saw you talking with the puppet. So I handed her an earbud, and now she's on listening with us and watching. And she's engaged just from walking by my computer and seeing this. So, Elsa, do you want to say hello?
Hi.
Hi, Elsa. You know, you got to tell your dad to sign up for the read aloud, and then you can come and do a read aloud and help him read the book.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, we already did sign up for the read aloud. We are going to read The Gruffalo.
Oh, I've never heard of that one. I'm excited. Yeah.
It's a fun
Mark
book.
Garuppolo. I know him.
So,
hey, yeah, Ben, I have a question for you when Kyle's done.
So anyway, yeah. So if just getting my daughter's attention as she walked by with a puppet on the screen, I can't even imagine what it's like if you're trying to convey some sort of academic material to kids, whether it's kindergartners or – I'm not exactly sure how I could make this work with, say, high school seniors.
It has to be a lot more crass. The puppets would be a lot crasser.
Yeah, so it might be a little. It might turn into an episode of Jeff Dunham or something like that, I think, with high school seniors. But I can see the potential behind this very easily.
Well, I mean, Kyle, I mean, the idea, though, is to give information in an entertaining way that doesn't detract away from the information, right? I mean, I can see you very easily doing like music videos, right? Or writing a song. And, you know, that's the thing that we're looking at. Like, I remember, and I'm going to say again, you have to put yourself out there, like Corey said. You have to be willing to look like a fool in front of your kids. And they ultimately love you for it. They may laugh at it at first, but they love you for it. I made a music video about the discovery of the atom and all of its subatomic particles. And it was in a rap. And I did a green screen behind me and I was dancing. This was all the way back in 2012. It was like, here's a load down. I started all this. This is the man Democritus. Like, it was just all this rap. And the kids were like going, no, you didn't do, no, no. And then people were coming in at lunch saying, Mr. Marquez, you made a rap video? Kinda, can we see it? And they would want more kids. Did you? And they just, kids are just coming in and you realize they may laugh at first, but they go out and talk to their friends and they bring them in and stuff. And they appreciate those kinds of things. So it doesn't have to be a puppet. It has to be something that can resonate with those students. And you know, Ben, as you were talking, I reminded myself, there is something called the Snapchat camera, the snap camera, right? That can go into a Zoom or a Google Meet. And you could put a fake puppet mask of anybody on your face and become that character. So you don't have to make your puppets or Amazon your puppets. You can do that mask right off of the camera. Just find that innovative way to get kids to want to join and talk to you. That's the key that I'm getting out of what Ben is doing.
So
plus,
Ben,
I want to go make some puppets. I want to see Joanne.
Or you just get your own mask. Go ahead, Roland. Sorry.
There you go.
Hey, no worries. When you started, I'd like for you to tell us quickly for the listeners, how did you start? Because they're looking at you and they're probably hearing you and they're thinking, man, this guy's deep. Like, he's got something going on. He's really perfected it. Tell us about the start of this. Now, I know you were a TOSA, so you're probably experimenting and doing different things, but when you found out you're going to do kindergarten and you wanted to do something different, how'd you feel at the beginning? Like, were you all in, or were you thinking, I'm going to give this a shot and I don't really know how it's going to go?
Well, I mean, it was a choice for me. I mean, I wanted to go back to the classroom. I was a sixth grade teacher, as I think some of my friends here know, for a long time. And then I wanted to go back to the classroom, and I chose kindergarten for a reason. And as you can see, I'm a big goofball as it is, right? I love the age my kids are at. But a lot of it is also, I feel like there's a lot of creativity and there's a lot of amazing. It is hard to be a kindergarten teacher, man. You got kids. I'm just like the kids, man. I can start the day awesome and then in the middle of the day feel grouchy, and at the end of the day I'm feeling good, right? Because a lot of times, but I don't know. I mean, a lot of it is just like a lot of people here, right? We just kind of fell into the right things. I had a computer as a kid, right? I love using technology, and so a lot of the pieces think. But I mean, when I think about right now for like a lot of teachers and just what can I do? Like, what can I do right now? How can I take up my game? And I really think, like, especially for the younger teachers, like just getting your phone out, right? And I did a presentation on this yesterday. Like, I'm sitting there lying in my yard, right? And all of a sudden, I'm in Salinas. We have a lot of agriculture. A snail comes by, right? And what is that snail? I mean, that snail is, I have a camera. I have my phone, right? So what do? I take out my phone and I do a little time lapse of it. I just think it's the way, like, we have the most powerful things in most powerful piece of technology we have is our mobile device, in my opinion, because that makes us a mobile teacher now. And how do we start maybe just capturing those things that interest us and relate to what we're doing with our students? And I think that's the whole other thing is engaging them, right? Is noticing that learning is really everywhere. Now it's a lot easier, honestly, to do it, I feel like, as a kindergartner, because I'm like, look, there's like a square. There's the triangle, right? Versus like Corey, who's like you can still do it, but he's like, I'm going to explain photosynthesis or, you know, like the endothermic process, so that when your ice is like that, you're still looking at that as learning. And so, I don't know, I guess, like, for me, it's just been a journey. And I feel like Kyle's book says it is, you know, just taking a lot of risks and putting myself out there. Right. So.
Well, I always tell a story. I teach the skeletal system for many, many years. And my first few years teaching seventh grade science, teaching the skeletal system, it was basically, here's a worksheet, memorize all the bones and where they're located. And in a few weeks, I'm going to give you a, you know, test on it. And everyone passed the test because they memorized. And then I went to a Q rock star and actually presented at a Q rock star. In fact, side story, I presented, you know, we had to give our little spiel about what we're going to be doing in our session to the audience. And I followed Doug Robertson, and he had a puppet, and he was just the most engaging guy. And I'm like, oh crap, I got to follow this guy. But it really woke my eyes up, is like, hey, I need to make this more engaging. I need to connect with my students in a more meaningful way. And it was as simple as a Google drawing. Take your Chromebook outside, take a picture of you or your friend, and then annotate your picture with the names of your bones. Completely changed the way that my students learned and understood the material. And they were like, this is the coolest thing ever. And then I started getting into animation and teaching the photosynthesis through animation. So depending on your grade level, you can find all kinds of creative ways to make your students go, I want to go to this class. I want to jump on that Zoom meeting. I don't want to, you know, especially the temptations of at home, sitting in the couch watching, you know, whatever. Oh no, I want to go to Mr. Cogswell's class right now, because it's going to be like off the hook.
He might be Batman. You never know.
You never know what you're going to see. And, you know, and that's what I think brought my kids and, you know, into my classroom, was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to see what we're going to learn today and how we're going to apply it in our things. And it doesn't have to be anything fancy. It could just be, you know, take your phones out and go take a picture of something, and then we'll talk about it. Or, you know, do a storyboard and we can make, you know, little videos of it. So it doesn't take much, and you don't have to be like over the top, you know, stuff, but, you know, just make it fun, you know.
And that is key. That is key. I mean, the students that want to do the assignment want to do it because, not because they want to please you. They do it because they find it interesting and important. And most importantly, it affects them in some way. And so if you find the way to do that, you can really make that connection and get it done. And that's why it's very important in this distance learning that you're not trying to replicate things you do in your class,
nope.
Right? That doesn't translate over into this distance environment. I highly recommend as well, if you're an educator and you have like a doc cam in your room, bring it home. Bring it home. I have one here, and I'm not even
you
in
mean
the
like this one right here? Yeah. What do you have right there? What's yours?
I have a Solo 8 from Hovercam.
Man, this is my iPivo, and I love this. This is my wireless document iPivo camera.
Yeah, these are great. And look, I mean, this thing can bend every which way. It has a 20 megapixel camera on it, so I can just stand in the back of the room. It's phenomenal. And I use that as my webcam now. Like, if I don't want to use my computer one, this is what I use because it's a phenomenal device. So use what you have and bring it home to make it work, because it can really transform. I mean, dance for your kids. I mean, sing them a song. Do something, right? Find for the appropriate for their age group, but put yourself out there and do it. I mean, I'll tell you, there's like 10 songs that I've written for science that I haven't recorded because, you know, by the time I was ready to record them, the standards changed and I no longer taught that stuff. I mean, I have a Vanilla Ice parody all about the transitional, you know, the solid, liquid, and gas all written out, but I haven't recorded it. But come up with those things. Yeah. Come up with, they're fun. And, yeah. And you know, the my favorite place to come up with stuff like that is like on a jog or on a run. Or somewhere like that, because that helps me clear my mind and I'm focused and things like that. So like, I want to kind of, you know, kind of wind the podcast down by talking about this. Connecting with your fellow educators is going to be incredibly important during this time. Immensely important. We have to understand, and I know we've said this thousands of times on this podcast, but I'm going to say it again. Education is a collaborative sport. And if you're doing it alone, you are doing it wrong. You're going to be overworked. You're going to feel frustrated. And if you are overworked and frustrated, you're not giving your best to your students because you're not feeling it yourself. You have to be the best you that you can possibly be. So I highly recommend a couple things during this, you know, summer break. And it's kind of a different summer break than a lot of us have. Like, a lot of people used to tell me, oh, a teacher, you get all summer off. I'm like, oh yeah, right. I'm revamping my lessons and I'm going to conferences, but we don't really have to go to conferences this summer, right? They're all going to be virtual or they've been postponed. So we do actually have some time to find ourselves. So find yourself as a teacher, center yourself, find a passion. If you love statistics or baseball cards or comic collecting, dive into that, find something that brings joy into your life, because that joy will transfer over into your teaching. That joy will discover maybe something you can connect with your students. One of our Sons of Technology members, Amanda Sandoval, like, she's able to take these pop culture things like the X-Men and relate it to civil rights. She's finding ways to connect these things, and it's because she thinks about them and she finds things that she loves and connects them to content that she can teach that students would love. That's what needs to happen. And when you start doing things like this, when you start finding your passion, you're actually going to find educators who have that same exact passion. And when they find out that you love what they love and that you can help them with technology, you become really good friends. And I want to tell you a quick story. Like, you know, it's no secret that over these last 3 months, 4 months of quarantine, I've been working my butt off to get into shape. I mean, since March, I've lost 75 pounds and it's July 3rd. But here's the thing. I'm proud of that, but what I'm proud of more is the amount of educators contacting me, asking me questions, and also asking me, can you help me do the same thing? And I tell them, hey, Marco Polo me. Let's get on Marco Polo. I now have 10 people I talk to every morning while I'm walking with my dog, answering questions, but also giving technology stuff or giving pedagogy shifts or doing this stuff. So it was a way for me to connect with them on a different level and then bring in the pedagogy back into it. And so it allowed me to connect with more people. And I'm gonna throw out some names. Tyler, Tyler listens to this podcast. He heard this podcast. He listens to the Beer EDU podcast. And he said, I'm gonna contact Joe and I just want to ask him some things. And I responded back. And now we're Marco Poloing every single morning. And he's a great person. I never would have met him if he never reached out. And he never would have reached out if he didn't feel a need to, because of, you know, the things that he sees that I'm doing. Do what you're doing and share what you're doing and tell people what you're doing, and you'll make connections with educators that can change lives. Because if I say one thing to Tyler and he takes it back, and in Idaho he tells his teachers, and now that changes. I mean, one little thing becomes something else. And I want teachers to also understand this. Sometimes you're the stone that you get stepped on, and sometimes you're the step. And neither of them is better. A stone helps somebody move forward. You're lifting them up, you're giving them support, and you're moving somebody along who's going to change lives. And then other times you're going to be lifted up by somebody else. Somebody else is going to be your stone, and they're helping you move forward. So sometimes you're the stone, sometimes you're the step. Both are good. Both are important. So who are you going to be today? You can be both today, but be something today. Move people forward, make those connections, because it's only going to help. It's only going to help. And the last thing before I pass it off to anybody else who wants to talk is this. A lot of teachers don't share or don't talk because they don't think what they're doing is innovative. They don't think what they're doing is important. It is important. You are important. You need to share. I mean, if Ben never shared his puppets, it may not have ignited some ideas in us. It may not have ignited some ideas in other teachers. What he's doing has a ripple effect across education. Just because he's imagining different ways of doing things, other people can now imagine those ways as well. What you're doing is important, and you need to share it out. You need to share it out, because that's the only way we are all going to grow together. And that's how you stay connected. That's how you stay involved. That's how you make a difference, by sharing and sharing and sharing and having people willing to share with you as well.
Well, I want to jump on that too, because sharing, 100% agree, absolutely. But also, don't be afraid to share things that go wrong. Oh my gosh, this didn't work. I mean, I've shared out on some, you know, spreadsheet stuff that I was trying to work on. It's just, it wasn't working. But, you know, I wasn't afraid to share out, hey, I'm stuck. Hey, this is not working well. And it was amazing. I had people jumping on the spreadsheet and helping me write formulas and do stuff like that, and totally geeking out with them. And we made connections, and now we're talking back and forth on Facebook, and I'm, you know, helping other people now. So it motivated me to help others. And there's a ton of them out there. In fact, I'm Jenna Rogers and I are starting a California League of Schools coaching program. It's like an 8-week program to help teachers move into the fall. And I made sure to put in there is, let's share our failures. Hey, you're trying this thing and it utter bomb. Don't be afraid to share it. We're here to support you. We're here to, you know, help you. It's a good thing to share things that are not rainbows and unicorns. And we've done a podcast on that. It's like, you know, be brave enough to share that. And I think educators are one of the bravest groups of people out there. Share those failures.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very important that we're openly honest. And you know, one of the reasons why, and yes, we did have a podcast, go back and look at fails. But one of the reasons is because if you just share the end result and somebody tries to replicate it and they don't do it, they think it's them.
Yeah.
Right. If you remind them, hey, on the 10th try, I finally got it. Here you go. Then they understand, okay, if it doesn't work the first time, just tweak it and move it along. That helps people. No, nobody likes to feel like a failure, right? But if you understand that everybody fails, and a failure is just what leads you up to the top, right? I always tell people I stand on a mountain of failures, which is why I am where I am, because of those failures, not because.
And it can connect you with other people too, who have shared the same experience that you did. And you're not alone with these, you know, failures in front of the classroom or behind the scenes. You're not alone. And we've all been through it, and we've all got piles of it in our, you know, repertoire. So I think that's a fantastic way to, you know, connect. And people are afraid to connect that way too, but I think we're stronger because of that failures.
And just one thing, I mean, it's funny that we're talking about this, because one of the things I always kind of close our little read alouds with is our Kinder Rocket pledge, right? And our Kinder Rocket pledge is, I'm a Kinder Rocket, I am kind, I am safe, and I do my best. And so I just think that's so important for everybody, because I just think about all the times I've failed, right? Which is this whole notion that
just do your best, right? And that's all we can do, and we're gonna fail, and that's hopefully, I think that's a good point for me, right, to leave on, right, is that point. And, you know, somebody said it to me, is I don't know who said it, but you know, it's only failure is if you give up, right? And so if you keep trying, then it's not failure. And so I just think, you know, just do your best. So I just got to say thanks, guys, for always putting this together, Kyle and Joe, and stay connected.
Absolutely. You know, so Roland, would you like to say any final words of wisdom to the educators listening?
Words of wisdom. That's great that you think that I have some. What I would say, though, is Ben's a great example of taking that step, right? Having an idea and going with it. And I think that's where, as I listen to you guys talk and the paths you've taken, especially around this distance learning thing, it keeps bringing me back to the same place. You have to start something. Sometimes it's new, sometimes unfamiliar. Failure is part of the process. Learn to accept that, right? Learn to engage with that, because with that failure is gonna keep you going. You're gonna keep moving in the right direction, and you're finally gonna hit a stride where you feel good. And if you know failure is part of the whole success thing, then you know it's coming, and it's okay. You become okay with it. And as I listen to you guys talk, and as I think about what's gonna happen to me moving into September, I've got lots of experience failing. I have a lot of success too, but with that success came a lot of failure. And you know what? When I've wanted something so bad, that failure doesn't seem to matter anymore. So I think whatever our focus is, know if you know the formula and you know the process and you know what comes with it, then you're good to go. And if people don't have anybody to reach out to, this group, the Sons, great group of people to reach out to, right? Like, I know you guys kind of invited me in a short while ago, but I've had nothing but amazing connections with the people that are connected to you guys, because we're all thinking in the same way. We're all thinking what's best for kids, what's going to get us there, and who can we lean on to help us? Because like you said, Joe, this is a collaborative game, and you have to share. And that includes successes and failures, as Corey was saying, as Ben has said. So that's what I would leave people with today.
Excellent. And Kyle, I would love to hear some parting words from yourself as well.
Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to follow up with a whole lot, because I think everybody here has summed it up very, very well. So I'll just leave it with, I just want to encourage everybody to continue to color outside the lines and really just not care what others think, because as long as you're trying something creative to try to make these connections and keep that communication flowing and everything, then you're doing it right. I'll just leave it at that.
And I would like to end the podcast by saying this. Teachers are like water. People can't live without water, and people can't live without educators. And water as well is constantly moving forward. And that's what we need to do as educators. We have to constantly be moving forward. Because when water stops and it gets pulled and it gets moved off to a side and it stops moving, it evaporates or becomes stagnant. And it's the worst kind of water that you can drink. And also, when water hits a rock or when water hits a barrier, it doesn't stop. It keeps moving and it cuts through that rock. It pounds the rock and pounds the rock and pounds the rock until it gets through. You're going to get through. There may be a rock in front of you. It may be daunting times in front of you, but you're going to pound it and pound it and pound it, and you're going to get through. Water never stops, and you're never going to stop. And, you know, the things that we do, a lot of people ask us, wow, how do you know so much? I can't do all the things that you do. You don't need to do all the things that we do. Do what you can do. The Grand Canyon wasn't made in a day. The Grand Canyon was because water was determined, and over years and years and years, it cut down to a gigantic masterpiece. And that's what you can be as an educator. Keep moving forward. Keep learning small, little, new things daily, weekly, monthly, and keep moving forward. And if there's a rock in your way, pound the rock until it's gone. That's what an educator is, and that's what I know you can do. We believe in you because we believe in education and we believe in our students. So as a parting words with this, collaborate, collaborate, collaborate with your peers, and connect, connect, connect with your students. Because that is the only way fall is going to be a successful forward motion for education going forward. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today for this very important conversation. Thank you, Kyle, for always being there for me. And thank you, listeners, for allowing us to be in your ear, be in your home, be on your walk, be on your vacation with you as well. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, keep on innovating, keep on moving forward, and keep pounding that rock.
Bye-bye.